today I've got the topic of the Ascension. We are doing a series around the life of Jesus, particularly at the end. So we've done the Last Supper, we did then the death of Jesus, then we did the resurrection, and today I'm going to be doing the Ascension. And the Ascension is one of the great events of the life of Jesus, but the Bible doesn't have a massive amount of information about it. It is not extensive. If you want to have a little synopsis of that, is that two Gospels have no verses at all about the Ascension. One Gospel has one verse, and one Gospel has two verses, and the book of Acts, thankfully, does have a bit more information. It has five verses. So it's not like the death and the resurrection of Jesus where there's chapters. There's not a lot of information. So why? Why does the Bible, the biblical narrative, which is a posh way of saying the story of the Bible, why does it not have much about this event? Well, the answer is quite straightforward. The event itself isn't massive, but the consequences of the event of the Ascension are the things that really matter. At the moment, I'm doing my decking in the front of our house. The decking is about 15 years old, and several members of the church have been quite amused by my attempts to repair this decking. And what's interesting is the decking is 15 years old, and when I get to repair it, it's interesting. Any knot in the wood or slight fault or even slight crack in the wood from 15 years ago has massive consequences today. So, you can see very quickly where if something wasn't quite right, it's now needing repair. The consequences of the previous, when it was installed, are very big today. That's negative things, but it's the same about the Ascension. The Ascension of Jesus, the consequences of the Ascension are huge and massive. Just a couple of thoughts here, just to start us off. The Ascension means we can have a relationship with God anywhere, anytime, and any place. We can have a relationship with God anywhere, anytime, and any place. That's a massive impact. And another little consequence of the Ascension is every prayer, however feeble it is, however stuttering it is, however confused it is important and matters. Just an amazing series of consequences from the Ascension. The Ascension explains the essential link between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at that today. It tells us also what Jesus is doing now and where he is. And it also tells us what happened when he arrived. So what are some of the Bible verses that we can read? Well, one's in Luke. So I'm going to read a few just so you can see, whet your appetite to what the story was. Obviously, Jesus had died. He'd been resurrected. He was walking around seeing. He saw many disciples. He even saw 500 of people at one point. But there was a point where it comes towards the end of that, 40 days. And it says in Luke 24, it says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them. And was taken up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That's what Luke says. In Acts, which is, as I said, is the longer one, it says this. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this moment? And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way as you've seen him go." It says in Mark, that was the other one that does have one verse, it says, after the Lord has spoken to them, that was it, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. The ascension is implied in Ephesians 1, Philippians 2, Colossians 3, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Timothy 1, Hebrews 1, 1 Peter. It's prophesied in Psalm 16, Psalm 110, Psalm 68, and Luke 22. That is a quite extensive list, but let's just dig a little bit into the story to just get ourselves a little bit more understanding. Because there's a lot of mythology that's around this, and a lot of art has made us think in a certain way and slightly take it in a direction where it isn't. And the two sort of myths that I want to just crack this morning and just make sure you think is that Jesus somehow lost gravity, went up in the air like some kind of, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and then went a long way up and out of the way and disappeared into the stratosphere. In other words, is a long, long, long way away. And that's what you see in the art of the medieval ages, if you're into the art, or Victorian age. It's very much around this sort of, he disappears into a cloud with his feet dangling down and then disappears. Now, it does say in the scripture, he became hidden. It says Jesus was hidden from their sight and disappeared and was taken up before their very eyes. Now, what's important, you need to hear this, it is a literal event. This is a literal event. It is not a myth. It is not a symbol. And it is a literal event. A cloud hid him from sight. We don't know what that cloud is. Doesn't say it. Doesn't say it's a cloud in the sky. It just says a cloud. They look up, and I'll explain why. And there's a lot of debate about what this was. But it isn't saying he disappears to the stratosphere, you know, that little thin layer on the top of our earth, and he's there. And he's a long way away now. It doesn't say that. It says this, that Jesus ascended, the word ascend is important, from earth to heaven. It was like a movement from one sphere of reality to another. I'll just show you some slides, because I always like slides. They help me understand stuff. Hopefully they'll help you understand a little bit more. Not that I can explain it all. But let's just talk about Jesus came amongst us, and he lived in our world, our sphere, the earth, okay? If you want to describe it as that. So there's Jesus, okay? But there is another world. And that's what Jesus describes in many times. It's God's place. It's where God is. Okay? Some people call it heaven. Some people call it, different words for it. But fundamentally, there is God's place, but there is also earth. And what happens in the ascension is Jesus moved from our world, our physical world, time and space, time here, to God's space. Now, the way the Bible writes that is that it always talks about heaven as a higher place, above, okay? And it's just the Hebrew way of thinking. It's the way they try and understand, because it always is a better, greater place. They always describe heaven as up and always earth as below. And you can see that in the scriptures. In Colossians, it says, think about the things above. Okay, there we go. There they go. Contrasted with don't think about the things on earth, which is below, down. And John, in 1 John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, you need to be born from above. So again, that Hebrew thinking is about heaven is upwards somehow, and we are downwards, we are below. But what I'm trying to say is this isn't mean up, doesn't immediately always mean a physical up. And also, most of all, it doesn't mean a physical going a long way away. It's a transition. It's a movement through a boundary. Now, why am I saying this? Why bother saying about this complicated thing? What's the big deal? The key here is this. He isn't far from us. There's a nursery rhyme called Tom Tom's the Piper's Son, far away, over the hills and far away. It's not like that. The spiritual reality is he is hidden from sight, but he is not far. You can see it in scripture right the way through. For example, when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. You can see it. Draw close to God, he will draw close to you. The ascension is not saying he is miles and miles and miles away. It's not saying that at all. It's saying he's in a different dimension and you can't see him, but doesn't mean he's gone a long way away. He can be close, closer than anybody else in your life. And we'll see how that's the case in a minute. Now, the significance of the ascension for Jesus himself, just to say, moving on, is huge. Jesus was with the Father and he descended, came amongst us, and now he has ascended. And I could spend all the rest of my short time left just talking about that. But also for Jesus, he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. I could talk about that, the effect on where Jesus is now. But also, ascension was personal vindication for Jesus. Each one of those is a preach in its own right. But I want us to focus today really on more the significance of the ascension for us. They are so big and so incredible when you realize what this event means to us as individuals, as Christians, and to the world around us. It is massive. Just a quick point. Okay, let's just start and dig into it a little bit, and then you'll start to see the significance as I roll back the truth of the ascension. It was a bodily ascension. Bodily ascension. Like the resurrection, it was a bodily ascension. It wasn't a ghost disappearing off into space. Jesus had been eating with the disciples. He'd even said, "Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones." He'd even said that almost just a short time before in Luke 24. This was a bodily ascension, a new transformed body, but it was a bodily ascension. Why am I making a bit point about that? Is that just way off deep theology? Well, this is the key point, is the ascension means a human being, a man, is now ruling the universe. Wow. That has huge implications for us. Tim Keller says the ascension means a human being rules the universe. Because remember, Jesus is now given the rule and reign. So why? Again, Julian, okay, this is all great and wild. Why is the big deal for us? Why? One of us, the dust of the earth, is now in heaven. One of us, the dust of heaven, dust of the earth, is now in heaven. That is so comforting to know a man, a human being, is now in the heavenly realms. He understands us. He understands human kind. He understands our problems, our stress, our difficulty, our lack of focus, our purposelessness. He understands it all. One day I was in Italy, and I was traveling on a train, and I got a problem with my ticket. So I had to get out of the train and go to a ticket office and renew my ticket. I don't want to get into the complicated bit, but it was in Italy and it was late at night, and this train station was packed full of Italians, as you would guess. And I'm excusing my language here, my way of describing it. I'm not offending anybody, I hope. But I went forward to the ticket booth, and there was an Italian speaking to me who did not understand English, and they spoke in Italian. I tried to speak in English, they spoke in Italian, and it all just started getting chaos. And I said, well, there's a train, I need to get on the train, and I've got a ticket, billet, and I tried to put A's on the end of all my words because I thought that's what Italians would understand. And it got more and more stressful, the queue was getting bigger and bigger, and I was going, a ticket, I want, you know. And then suddenly, out of this mess and melee, one person came forward and said, I speak English. I ushered them forward. I said, look, I just need a ticket for the train. I'm actually on that train, and I just need a ticket. Could you explain? And he went, no problem. And he spoke in Italian to the ticket man, and the ticket man smiled and then passed over the ticket. I passed over the 300 million lira, and it was this one person understood me and understood my need and translated it, and then I got back on the train. That is what Jesus is doing now. He intercedes for us. He has ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, and he continually prays for us. But he also takes, as it says in Romans 8, our feeble prayers, our feeble murmurings, and he translates them before the Father and translates them into the will of God. It's absolutely incredibly comforting. He understands us. There's a human being at the center and translating and interceding for us. He knows what it's like to be accused of things. He knows the charges that the enemy brings. And he knows, he speaks, and he's with the Father. You know, and this is a really powerful story. And is when Stephen, in the Bible, in Acts 6, was being stoned, he got a vision of the ascension. He was being stoned to death. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was being stoned to death, what I would do, knowing who a God is, knowing God's all, I would be saying, what have I done wrong, Lord? And I think that's what was in Stephen's heart. What have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? Why? What is happening now? As the stones were being gripped by the accusers who are angry, and they were going to smash him to pieces. What have I done wrong? And we saw a vision of the ascended Jesus standing, saying, it's okay. Everything has been seen by the Father. Everything is known by the Father. And Stephen, you are okay. Everything you've done has been accepted by the Father. That is incredible to think that Jesus is standing there hearing and speaking to the Father about you and about me. Just an aside, if you find that story difficult, Stephen's death changed the whole of Christianity. When he died, his coat was placed in front of Paul. Paul is one of the greatest known Christians ever. And we all know that death of Stephen changed the world, because it's Paul, when he had those coats laid before him, God started to work in Paul's life. He was called Saul at the time. That's just an aside. what I want you to hear about the ascension is that, in a way, when now we are raised with him, and we are now seated with him. It's so comforting to know he's not only just our representative, but he's asked us to come and be with him. Now, I want to just move on to the next important thing about the resurrection, and it's this. Because probably the biggest impact, those are very powerful to know, but the biggest impact is Jesus had to leave for the Holy Spirit to come and fill all in all. Initially, you don't think this is very important because you think, well, I'm familiar with the Holy Spirit. I'm familiar with this, familiar with that. Why does this? But it's so important, you see, that Jesus had to leave for the Spirit to come. He even says this to the disciples many, many times. He said, wait in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And Jesus said it many times to them. He says, you've heard me say, I'm going away. And he frequently reminded them he was not going to stay, but he was going to go. But he says, but the Father will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He constantly described his leaving as the time when the Spirit would come. He connected the two fully. The ascension is vital for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, what are the consequences? Why is it vital? Well, I'm going to make you laugh because I'm going to show you something. I mean, I like aircraft, so I'm going to show you a nice big picture of some aircraft. So we'll get there. But what's this? Well, if you're anybody who's an aircraft spotter, will spot that this is the tailplanes of the Israeli National Airlines, El Al. Okay, and bluntly, if the ascension hadn't taken place, we, all of us Christians, would be piling into these and flying to Jerusalem. Okay, that's what we would all be doing, and this airline would be making absolute billions, because we would be wanting to go and see Jesus. Jesus has been resurrected; he's not died, so let's go and see him. Okay, so we'd all be piling into aeroplanes and zooming to Israel, landing in Tel Aviv, and then starting to look for Jesus. And you can imagine what it would be like in Israel. You know, we would all arrive, be piling out of planes, taking ourselves to the nearest hotel, chomping our way through the latest, Israeli food, and getting ready to go and see Jesus, who would be trying to organize all these millions of people to come to see him. And there he is, sat there. And, I know this sounds silly, but the reality is that now, there are religions in the world who have had people who've died, like Muhammad, and there is millions of people go to Mecca all the time to see the tomb. That's a dead person of Muhammad. Well, just think about this. This is what would be happening. It would be like queuing up to see one of the seventh wonders of the world. I always remember a story once where my wife and I went to see the sunflowers, Van Gogh's sunflowers in Amsterdam. And it was a hot day and we queued up outside and we had the children with us. One of our sons was there and they were racing round and it was hot. And we waited for hours and hours and hours and then eventually shuffled into this building and we were going to see the sunflowers, one of the seventh art wonders of the world. Beautiful painting, by the way. And eventually, after hours, we made our way in to see probably the greatest painting ever, and we saw it just on the far wall, and one of my sons said, I want a wee-wee. And I went, what? And, I want to go. I want a wee-wee. And of course, he was desperate to go to the toilet, so we were whisked back out again, and we ended up outside the building, and actually, we saw the sunflowers for about 3.5 seconds. That is a bit like what it would be like if we didn't have the ascension. But Jesus ascended. Okay, It says he was hidden from sight, but he sent the Holy Spirit. He says, I will ask the Father, he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. That means anywhere two or three gathered in my name, I will be there through the Holy Spirit. God is closer than you think. That's why we can say this, because of the ascension. The Spirit of God has now been sent. We can know him wherever we are, whether we're sat in our bedrooms, in the middle of Perth, or in the middle of a desert in South America, or whether we're in Alaska, it doesn't matter. We do not need to get on a plane to go to Israel. The Spirit of God has come. That is just utterly amazing. And he's closer than you think. He's not miles away. We have one more thing to say, and then I'm going to start to wrap up. As I realize this topic is very, very, at times quite complex, but there's one more thing I want to say very quickly, is the ascension has a huge impact on us because it is about victory. The ascension of Jesus was a victorious ascension. It was described by Paul from Psalm 68 and also in Ephesians 4 as a victorious entry of a king coming back into a city, back bringing the prisoners of and plunder of the battle. Jesus won the battle over the evil one. He won, and he won us as well. We are in his train. We are in that queue of soldiers being brought in, not dragged in as prisoners under pain and control, but under release, because we've got a king who is kind, who is loving, who is ultimately generous. We are his captives in his train, and we've been brought in. But the amazing truth is, it's a victory parade. And in that parade, he does one thing more. Yes, we're his prisoners. We are ascending with him. We are sharing in his triumph. But he turns us round and he says, he gives us his ministry to change this planet. It says here, the victory of Jesus over evil in this world is not a fait accompli. In other words, it's just happened. Okay. It's not a fait accompli. It is a victory waiting to be implemented by his followers. Jesus's ministry is victorious, but he continues that through us. So in the ascension, he gives us his ministry to redeem this planet and this world and bring it back to its original purpose. I could say much more on that, but that's our calling as a church and as individuals. The ascension is all about him giving us his ministry so we can change and will change, not through triumphalism, through humility, through humble, through all those things that our king is like. But that is what we've been given, to co-partner and change the planet. Right, I'm going to finish on this. And I just want to finish on the fact that the Holy Spirit is the essentialness of the whole of Jesus' ascension is connected to the Holy Spirit coming. Because I just want to say a few things, because it's so important we grasp now this is the time of the Spirit. People say, where is God? Well, the Holy Spirit is God on this earth today. the Holy Spirit perfectly represents Jesus and completely and perfectly manifests the will of the Father. Our Christian life is a relational journey, but it's a relational journey with God on this earth with the Holy Spirit. Everything in our lives succeeds or fails due to our relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit is the central person in our lives. Every victory, every triumph, every enablement, every bit of grace, everything we experience in this life in following Jesus is there because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, just to say, the Holy Spirit is, I'm not just referring to an emotion, although emotions are included. I'm not just talking about feelings, although feelings are included. It is a relationship with a person. A person, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. But He's not far from us. You know, you can know Bible verses, you can know theology, you can know all sorts of things. But do you really know the person of the Holy Spirit? Because that's the time we're in. The ascension has happened. And the Father has sent the Spirit. We need to know Him. Now, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. That's fundamental. You can't be saved if the Holy Spirit hasn't worked in your life. But we have so much more to know. So my question I'm going to leave you with today is, the ascension does all these exciting things. There's lots of things to understand. But how are you doing with the presence, the person, and the power of the Holy Spirit? That He is Jesus on earth today. Now, next week, Tom is going to bring this back down to the moment when the power of the Spirit came on the disciples. Okay, so he's going to talk about Acts 2, which we now, anybody who's a Christian knows, is called Pentecost, which is the final moment when Jesus has ascended, the Spirit came. And we'll look at that very much next week. And I don't want to take away anything from Tom, because he's going to really, I hope, go for that. But before you get to next week, before you get there, I want you to prepare your heart. How are you doing? The ascension has taken place, but how are you doing with the presence, the person, and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Because I want you to start to hunger for Him. I want you to start to thirst for Him, because that is the most important thing in our relationship with God at the minute, is to receive from Him. So please, before we get to next week, yes, think about these things. They're great. I'm sure you'll have 20 more questions. But I want you to think about the presence, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit.